This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
G'day, I'm David Moyle. Usually at this point I would provide an introduction, but tonight I'm going to be lazy because I reckon they can do a great introduction themselves, direct from their experience promo video.
Hi, my name is Mirko Guerrini. I'm a saxophonist, composer, and educator.
And I'm Nico Schäuble, a drummer, composer, and audio engineer.
Between us, we have more than 50 years of experience in improvised music.
And we would like to share this experience with you, especially in regard to listening.
It is my great pleasure to wish a very warm welcome back to Bent Notes as they chat about workshopping listening, Mirko Guerrini and Nico Schäuble.
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Perhaps the key aspect of being a musician, whether you're playing solo or in an ensemble, is being able to actually listen and use your ears. In your experiences to date, has there been a specific moment when you have each realized the importance of listening, that light bulb moment?
Yes. I personally come from a very academic learning journey. So I did all the studies in the conservatoriums for many years, and then I took a couple of degrees and then started playing. But it was only about probably 15 years ago or 20 years ago that I realized that the spider was playing already for like 15 years or 20 years. I wasn't actually listening to was going on stage. I was playing more mechanically, following all the quote rules end quote. I remember exactly the night I was playing a concert, and I just realized that I wasn't as good as my colleagues, and the problem is that I wasn't listening. I wasn't able to use my ears in a good way. So in the last 15 years, I spent a lot of time trying to improve that. And I think I'm like halfway, you know, as my old teacher used to tell me, in music, the first 20 years are the worst.
Oh, right.
For whom? You or the people who listen to you?
So that's referring to, in essence, to the ability to listen.
Yes, and yeah. We are not just saying the ability to hear things, but to listen. So when you actually listen or actively listen, you actually understand. And that is what you want when you play music. You want to understand what is going on, especially in improvised music, where it is crucial to be able to understand what the others are playing in order to interact and create interplay.
Nico, do you have a memory of when you realized it was the listening that was important?
My sort of musical journey was quite different. So I did start more with listening, but it is listening to records and play along. However, there are several moments, and one that I certainly recall and cherish is playing for the first time with Mike Nock at the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz, and that would have been, I think, 1989 even, the first one. We'd never played together. I knew about him a bit, and it was all fully improvised. We didn't arrange anything. Mike said, just play it, man. So we just played. So we went on stage, and he has a habit, as I do, to often close the eyes, which I think is sort of an effort to listen and not look for any cues. I just closed my eyes and sort of waited, not necessarily for him to do something, but for the right moment. And as it happened, we both played the first sound exactly together, and this was like here, this is going to be good. Oh, and wow. That's a realization where, well, there's the sound, but there's all the time where there is no sound. So you've got to listen to when there is no sound as well.
Listening to all aspects of the audible environment.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
In simple terms, what would you both think are the benefits to you as a musician of using your ears to listen?
Well, basically everything. Everything that you want to achieve in music goes through your ears. So you have to be able to, even when you practice, it's really important that you can hear what you are doing, because you can understand what you need to improve, whether your sound is good, the shape of your tone is enough colorful, and so on, whether your timing is all right. You know? And so if you play with a metronome, with a simple metronome, you have to listen. Otherwise, you are wasting a lot of time.
Now you're making practice difficult, Mirko. I can't just do the mechanical side of it.
But it's so easy to fall into that, because so much teaching is done on a sort of purely or with a purely mechanical focus. So you learn that exercise and that exercise and that exercise, and then
all those attitudes.
Yeah, and your teacher will say, "Yeah, that's good." So we go to the next one. The tricky thing, of course, is that you've got to listen often while you play yourself. So you'll listen to yourself in relation to the all the other musicians. That makes it doubly difficult, I think.
I was saying that you can also observe, like, little kids. I have a six-year-old child, and he's learning piano. And the other day he told me, why I don't need to learn how to read music if I can play? And he's actually true, because if I play something, he's able, within a couple of minutes, he finds the notes and then starts playing with the right sound, also the right articulation or the right phrasing. And of course, he doesn't understand what is a slur or an accent or a staccato, but he does it simply listening and repeating, because this is how kids learn language.
What a great skill to have.
Yeah, we all have it. The problem is that as soon as we grow up, we rely more on the vision than on the listening. And that's a big issue.
There are cultures, or many music cultures, learn by listening. There might not be even any written down information. I was very, very lucky to play with people from very different cultures, but I also played with some indigenous people here. And the first time we played with them at a rehearsal, we wanted to learn more about their music. So we asked them to play a song, and we're all sitting there with a piece of paper and trying to write things down and take notes. And then they stopped, and it was like two, three minute performance, and then we were writing, and then we said, could you play it again? And they said, well, we just did. Yeah, fair enough.
So you had all your notes.
Well, they were very rough. And there's a lot of things that are basically impossible to write down. The way we look at music notation, it's also a very rough approximation. It's really rough. So when you listen to someone play whatever, you know, a Bach fugue, and there's some wonderful, wonderful performances, but when you look at the piece of music, it looks like sort of a mechanical, like a pianola, and it's not, of course. So the learning by listening, I wouldn't care if someone can't read music. It's just a shorthand and not really that necessary. Better if they can play by ear.
My guests on Bent Notes, Mirko Guarini and Nico Schobler, chatting about listening. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Your ear is something that you've given a lot of thought to, both of you, because you've developed a new project. It's not, as I understand it, a musical project per se, but it sounds very much like an enabler of music. What is Xperience, and why am I emphasising the E-A-R component of that word?
Yeah, we started talking about a year ago. We started talking about an observation that we both had teaching in tertiary institutions or secondary institution. There is a huge gap within all the students that are bombarded with a lot of theory information, which, you know, it's important to have, but then it's very hard for them to put them in relation to a sound. So first thing that we could clarify is that every theory rule comes after a sound. It's not the other way around. So the theory rules are there because they are justified by a sonic issue. And very often it's hard for the students to see the relation between the two of them, because there is a theory lesson, and it's just a theory lesson where all the rules are explained using words and the sound never comes. The first thing that we started discussing is what can we do to try to change it, to try to help, you know, those people that are struggling a bit. They could be potentially, you know, great players, but they are a bit stuck into that mare magnum of rules and theory. So this is probably the first thing that we started discussing. And then I give over to you, Nico, to continue.
In a sense, like, I find it very interesting when I was talking to Mirko, because to a degree I had both views. I learned piano first, and that was really the traditional way, and scales and this arpeggio, and now you're allowed to do the next thing. It's a little tune, but then we do more exercises. Whereas with the drums, it was at the start never like that. It was later on, after I played 5 or 6 years, that I thought, oh, maybe I better get a teacher and have them check my technique. And that was sort of an awful moment, because I didn't have much of it. But I always felt very grateful to that very first teacher who showed me a few things and then said, put your favorite record on and play along. Because I was listening to the sound. And I think one of the first records I played to was Billy Cobham. That moment that Mirko mentioned before, playing and finding out that he was not sort of adequate or not as good as the other players. I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, that was playing with Billy Cobham. So it's a small world, comes around.
Actually, Nico, I have to correct you, because it wasn't Billy Cobham. When I had the fortune of playing with Billy, I was already listening a bit more.
That's not what he told me.
Yeah, good one. No, but actually it is a small world, because that night that I mentioned before was with Enrico Rava, which is a good friend of yours. So there you go.
He's a fantastic listener. I did an album with him, or it was recorded first here as a trio with the wonderful Stephen Magnusson and Chris Becker. But I felt there was another voice that I could hear. And I had made a record with Enrico 2 years or so before. When I was back in Europe, I asked him to play on it. So he came to the studio. So the first track, he listened to it once and then he played. And the second track, he said, no, I don't want to hear it. Just record straight away. So he did all the other 10 or 11 takes, or all first takes, without having listened before. And there's all the magical moments where you think, he can only do that if he's listening.
Listen to what all the other band members are doing.
feeling where the music is going, and that's the album called Night Music, which is still available.
And I think I've played a little bit of that recently, Nico.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, maybe some more in weeks to come.
It is one of my favourite albums.
Yeah. In fact, it's on my desk right next to me. As it happens. Musicians, of course, aren't the only people who listen, because it's very important that musicians have an audience to listen. What is it about hearing that an audience member can get out of really listening to a performance from a live muso?
This is a very good question, David. Thank you. Of course, we survive because of the audience, and we need the audience to listen to our voice. There is a big misunderstanding, especially with jazz music. Jazz music is considered, you know, an elitarian music, because people, when you ask, do you like jazz? They say, yeah, but it's too difficult. I don't understand it. This is the most common response. I don't understand it. I always try to fight against this idea, because I could simply ask, well, if you go to a symphony concert and there is a Mahler symphony performed, do you understand it? Usually they go, oh, no, but I enjoy it. I just listen. And I say, why you don't do it the same with jazz? So there is this myth that in jazz, you know, jazz is something that only people who does jazz can enjoy. But it's not true. So as a listener, for example, you can learn a lot more if you come to our workshop. You can enhance your listening skills, and you can also learn on what to listen to when you go to a live gig or even to a symphony concert, because that is really important. I mean, to make a step forward and to understand, not to understand the rules and the theory and all that, but to understand that sometimes you can also catch things that you wouldn't normally catch if you are not prepared to hear those. If you don't know what to listen to, you will miss a lot.
There's often those moments and you're listening to something and something goes by and you think to yourself, oh, what just happened? Can I listen? I'd like to hear that again. Now, you've put together this program, the Experience Program. You have a website, experience.net, except Experience is spelt just a little bit differently, isn't it?
Yep. It's got the ear in it. Yes. Experience. We made it so it's harder to find on Google, so you really want to know about it.
Indeed. So the website, experience.net, you've got some information about who you are and what you do, and then you've got information about your workshops and how to get on board and experience the workshop and learn a bit more about listening, that all-important component of not just music, I suppose. It just hits life generally, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can, you know, it's like listening. If you can go to the theatre, you know, if you go to a movie, if you're not listening, you might miss the story. That's, of course, not necessary if you watch an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. The dialogue is secondary. I think a great way to learning to listen is, well, first of all, I think you should, as a listener I'm talking, you should enjoy the music. Well, as a musician as well. If you don't enjoy it, well, you know, it's a lot of hard work. Why do it? But if you like even maybe one particular artist or a particular piece of music, if you have a recording, you can listen to it over and over and over. And with a bit of guidance or a few tips, you will hear more and more things in that piece or inside that recording. And then the next time you go to a concert, then you will be able to catch things quicker, because you train your ear and your brain to listen out for those little details. So you just get more enjoyment out of it, I think.
Gentlemen, Nico and Mirko, thank you so much for chatting to me tonight here on Bent Notes. It's been great to have you back, and I've enjoyed our time together. I reckon we should have a listen to something, use our ears. Is there something that you think's worth having a listen to, and what is it that we're going to listen for?
I think Mirko would be the right person to introduce the track.
I think a nice track would be a track that is included in the CD Torio with Nico, Paul Grabowski and myself. There is a lot to say on, you know, listening and that band. There is really a lot to be said. But we don't have time, right? So the track that we are about to listen to is a composition of mine called 16 April 1881, which is Nico's birthday. And is actually the birthday of Charlie Chaplin, which is an artist that I admire with every single cell of my body.
That's a big statement. Can I just add, we also have a Facebook site. Today, there's only one ticket left for the workshop, but I know you want more. There's
hold on, there's steak knives. Steak knives. Yes, exactly.
Now, there'll be another workshop, and we're just setting it up, so it'll be the weekend after, which I think is the 3rd and 4th of October. Yeah. So that's coming up. So if you don't catch this workshop, there's another 8 chances, because there's only 8 per workshop, 8 so participants.
It's a workshop where musicians or listeners can benefit. You can get all those details from experience.net with the two amazing musos here in Melbourne, Nico Chablais and Mirko Guarini. Thank you so much again for joining me here on Bent Notes.
Thank you, David. Always a great pleasure.
My guests on Bent Notes have been Mirko Guarini and Nico Chablais chatting about listening. For more details, check out their website, experience.net. That's experience.net, or their Facebook page. Let's take Mirko's advice now and start our ears listening with a piece from their Torio album from 2017. This is 16 April 1881. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.